The weather today is going to be scattered showers, mainly before noon. It's going to be cloudy early and then gradually clearing with a high near 60. West winds 13 to 17 miles per hour with gusts as high as 32 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 50%, and precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch is possible. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around 35, west winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tuesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 55, light and variable wind becoming southeast to 5 to 8 miles an hour in the morning. Tuesday night, showers likely, mainly after 1 a.m., be mostly cloudy with a low around 38. Southeast winds 9 to 11 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 70%, and the amounts will probably be between a tenth and a quarter of an inch are possible. Wednesday, showers likely, mainly before 1 o'clock. Mostly cloudy with a high near 53, breezy with a southwest wind 13 to 22 miles per hour, and becoming northwest in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 70%, and the new precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. Wednesday night is partly cloudy with a low around 24. Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is NAMI's hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. We try to help families or people who have a mental health issue, and we do it in a number of ways. One of the ways we do it is by teaching a family-to-family class, which is for family members who have someone that they in their family that have a mental illness, or someone they know or work with, or best friend. It's a 12-week course, and everything NAMI does in Hunterdon County is free. We don't charge for, well, actually, it's free no matter where it is, any state in the union, it's free. We run support groups once a month on a Thursday from 7 to 8:30, and that all is free. You don't have to register. You have to register for the class. In fact, the class is going on right now. My wife and I are teaching it, and the next one will be in fall, September. We also have what they call educating the educators, because in this economy, unfortunately, a lot of people have to, both people have to work, and kids are alone a lot of the times, and until the parents get home 6-7 o'clock at night, and the kid spends most of the time with the teachers. So we try to educate the teacher as to what to look for if there's a change in the individual and what to do. We help acknowledge the fact with law enforcement that they sometimes need help. If they know they're going to a house that has someone with a mental illness, it's a lot easier if they know in advance and how to handle it. Today, we are very fortunate to have three people who are in our community. We have Dr. Tom Fowler, who's the VP of Operations for High Focus Centers. We have Laura Riley, Program Manager of Waypoint, and we have Jeff Brain, Program Director of Waypoint. And I'm very privileged to have you guys here with us because I know that a lot of your work overlaps or works in contract with what NAMI does. So I'm very happy to have you, the three of you here. Laura and I go back, 6 months, 3 months, something
yes,
like that?
Yes.
We happen to be sitting at the same table at a NAMI conference. You had a fellow with you, if I'm not...
Yes, that was our assistant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we talked and stuff, and then I suggested maybe you'd like to come on a radio, and guess what? Here you are.
Yes, thank you.
She brought support with her, though.
Of course.
Didn't want to come alone. Didn't trust me. Tom, what is High Focus Centers?
Larry, thanks for having us. High Focus Centers, we are a system of structured behavioral health centers throughout New Jersey. We have six centers all across. We've been in existence since 1994 when we started off as a small intensive outpatient substance abuse program in Bergen County.
And Bergen County, eh?
Yes.
Graduated from Teaneck High.
Okay. And we've grown now to today to having six centers throughout New Jersey, in which we're serving hundreds of patients every day.
Okay.
We have a myriad of services that we offer. Our original, as I said, is the IOP substance abuse programs, mm-hmm. but we also provide acute psychiatric programs for both adults and adolescents. And that basically are, as I said, structured behavioral outpatient programs are partial care and intensive outpatient, which are not inpatient, but they're not the come and see a therapist once a week. It's that mid-level of care right. where people are in crisis and trying to prevent a hospitalization, let's say, or are trying to stabilize a crisis and return back to, you know, a level of functioning, whether right. that be attending school or attending work.
Right. Is the centers like houses, or are they like, I don't know, auditoriums or what?
Yeah. No, we're primarily pretty traditional treatment centers in that, you know, these are offices okay. where, you know, the patients come in and mm-hmm. will attend okay. group therapy, individual therapy. We have psychiatrists and nurse practitioners in all of our sites.
So okay.
those patients who come in who are in need of medication management can have that done on a weekly basis. You know, again, they come in and they leave in an outpatient level on a daily basis.
Real quick question. Is it, what is the age bracket? Mm-hmm. Is it just youth or 18 to 25 or?
We offer
or it could be anything.
Programming for adolescents and adults.
Okay.
So when adolescents, our adolescent programs for both acute psychiatric as well as for chemical dependence are ages 13 to 18.
Okay.
And for adults, anything 18 and over. We're pretty excited that we are now developing what we call a middle school track for our psychiatric programs. Mm-hmm. And that opened this fall in our Paramus location. So that's 10 to 13 mm-hmm. in age group.
Right, right.
We find, unfortunately, that more and more we're seeing some of these diagnoses at an earlier age. And so,
oh, yeah. Definitely.
So those programs are designed just that, to provide that structure and support and education for those, you know, early adolescents who are starting to struggle.
Not to get off the topic, but I was giving a presentation to nurses and doctors. And after, two doctors came up to me from separate organizations. They didn't work together. And they both said they had a three-year-old attempt suicide. And I said, what? 3 years old? And he says, they both said, yeah, it's not like they understood what suicide was, but it was like they had a pain and they wanted to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and it's 3 years old. It's like, God, you know it just boggles my mind. It really does. Jeff, glad to have you here.
Great to be here.
What is Waypoint?
Well, Waypoint is a new premier residential treatment and transition program for young adult men age 18 to 26. We're okay. a community residence providing an opportunity for young men to receive comprehensive and wraparound support as they move towards increasing levels of self-sufficiency and independence.
Okay. How did the mission for Waypoint come about?
Well, the mission for Waypoint came about through a vision that High Focus Centers had as they were responding to the needs of the patients that they were treating in their centers, that they were hearing consistently from the young adults and the families with young adults about the need for increased support for when they were not in treatment, that they did very well while they were in program at High Focus, but then were not able to maintain the progress and the momentum okay. that they were making in program. And so High Focus had then set on a mission to develop Waypoint, which would be an avenue by which the young adults that were in treatment at High Focus could continue to receive ongoing support even when they were not in treatment.
Okay. Now, help me.
mm-hmm.
Now, High Focus deals with a wide spectrum of people.
Correct.
Do they have just mental health issues, or is it substance abuse and mental health issues, or just substance abuse, or How does that work?
No, for both the adolescents and the adults served by high focus centers, they have specialty tracks for both substance abuse and mental health, okay. So that there are specialized programs for each of those adolescents and adults in okay. those programs. Waypoint is High Focus's first residential program targeting that young adult.
Okay. Population. Now, the young adult that you target, they are
primary mental health, okay. right? That these are folks that
but they can have an addiction of some sort.
They can have some substance abuse history.
Okay.
Addiction, probably not so much, unless they're really solidly in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really targeting a young adult male for Waypoint specifically with a mental health diagnosis.
Okay.
They may have been using substances or be in mm-hmm. recovery from using before. But if they had ongoing serious substance use or an addiction issue, then Waypoint probably wouldn't be best suited for them.
Okay. Laura.
Hi.
Hi. You're a program manager at Waypoint.
Yes.
What exactly does a program manager do?
I am the daily responsibility for our staff, administrative and clinical. So I am there every day. I'm doing scheduling. I will be overseeing, supervising our staff, our direct care staff, I should say. We call them residential mentors. They will be working, one-on-one and in groups with our participants. And that's the difference between Waypoint. We will call we will call them participants,
mm-hmm.
whereas at High Focus, Dr. Fowler, they're called patients.
Okay.
And we do that because they are at our program at Waypoint voluntarily. As Jeff said, they're young males, 18 to 26. We like to think of them there as right. participants in okay. our program. And it is a wraparound program, so I'll be overseeing that they are meeting not only their treatment goals at high focus centers, but they will also have transitional goals, which are based life skills that they're working on specifically at Waypoint.
Yeah, a lot of times the life skills fall by the wayside.
Yes.
Trust me, I know from experience. Not me, my son. My son.
But Larry, I just want to say that's exactly it. I think that what we were hoping to do is use the successful programs that we've had at High Focus Centers.
Mm-hmm.
For over 10 years, we've been treating adult acute psychiatric
right.
successfully. And to Jeff's point, doing very well, learning coping skills, gaining insight. But yet, once they transition down to one day a week and then discharge from our program, having some difficulty just sustaining that,
right.
implementing
right.
those skills, getting support during that time. And so in Waypoint, they will be able to continue to receive some of that formalized treatment at High Focus, but the environment at Waypoint is going to be that one of just that. It's not going to be a formalized treatment setting. Instead,
right.
it's going to be a therapeutic residence where the mentors are truly going to be partners and mentors with the participants at Waypoint, where, helping them through just, that daily stuff where getting up in the morning and being kind of frustrated and kind of helping them work through that.
Right.
All the way to the end of how to do your laundry and how to prepare a meal for yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So those kinds of skills are combined with having very good communication with the clinicians at High Focus, so the treatment plan that they devise at High Focus can be completely extended to Waypoint, where mm-hmm. some of the skills can be monitored and really reinforced.
It's my youngest son. Before the show, we were talking, about, and I said, my youngest son is schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't have a microwave, he wouldn't eat.
Right.
It's like, he's got a stove and everything, and my wife goes down there and tries to, I put it in the microwave, okay. How did it taste? Oh, it was all right. Yeah, okay.
I was thinking about when I was 20, I think I was the same way.
Yeah.
So it's
when I was 20, I was in the military. They fed me. Laura, I want to ask you a question. You mentioned clinical
yes.
people, okay? In what focus? Like just nurses, or the psychiatrists, or all the above, or what?
We actually have, as part of Waypoint, we will be using the psychiatrists from High Focus Centers and the nurse.
Okay.
So our clinical team is very joined in that way, where they will have the same psychiatrist. It's not like they'll have separate treatment. Waypoint is just a therapeutic residence. Since the treatment will be happening at High Focus Centers, we share the nurse and psychiatrist with them. So they'll have that continuity of care.
Okay. How'd you get involved in this work?
Since I have been very young, I've always been interested in behavioral health. I actually had a close family member who was schizophrenic. And I remember being young and not understanding why it was my grandmother, why she acted that way. And I just had a fascination and went right into high school classes in psychology, was really, I guess, good at it too. I got the high school psychology award, and I was like, you know what? I think I want to do this in college. And then that turned into grad school. And then that turned into my career.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I ask that pretty much of everybody that I have on over the last 5 years, because some people say, well, like you, as a youngster, I wanted to do this, and, you know, I, or whatever reason, they had a relative that, you know, for, you know, like, cycled them to go to. Others say, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I went to college, and I didn't know what to take, so I just took that. Then somebody offered me a job, and that's how I got in it, you know. But it's just interesting to me, and I, you know, I don't mean to put you on the spot or anything, but, you know, it's just interesting to me how people do get into the various types of positions, you know. So you mentioned a little bit about the relationship between High Focus and Waypoint. Does it go deeper than just recommending each other back and forth, or what?
I'll just say it's very integrated in that way. I mean, Waypoint is an extension of High Focus Centers. As I mentioned, I'm the Vice President of Operations for High Focus Centers, and Waypoint falls under that. So, you know, as we said before, it really is an extension of our adult psychiatric programs at High Focus Centers, because, you know, there's a core structure of pretty formalized treatment, but then an extension into Waypoint is all those other additional wraparound services that we think will enhance the experience of the young adult males that be in those programs.
Jeff, let me – forgive me, but sometimes it goes – you know, the older I get, the faster it goes over my head. In High Focus, from the way I understand it, people are treated there and on like a daily basis, and then they go to either their home or wherever they're living. In Waypoint, they will live at Waypoint for a period of time?
That's right. So the young men will be living at Waypoint and receiving their clinical treatment services through High Focus at our Branchburg site, which is close to our residence. But they will also then be beginning the journey of developing the skills that they need to become part of the community, to be a productive member of society. So they'll be beginning or returning back to school, college, developing work readiness skills, and beginning to
write resumes and stuff like that,
fill out applications, and developing a work ethic and learning how to behave at work and how to prepare for work, and beginning to have those experiences of being in jobs in a practice way or a trial way, and beginning to build those skills over time.
I don't know if I forgive me because I don't remember if I asked or not. But how'd you get involved in this kind of work?
Well, funny, the way you described it earlier, I started in college as a pre-med major and only got introduced to psychology in college, different than Laura, who took it in high school. And when I took my first psychology course in college, I thought, there it is. There's the match, right, that I had gone into college as pre-med wanting to really help people. And I, having been introduced to the first psychology course, that's where I really felt like it was a good match. And, you know, majored in psychology then and went on and got my master's degree in clinical psych and have spent my career really in, working in residential settings of different shapes and sizes with people with developmental disabilities, homelessness, therapeutic education, substance abuse, and mental health. So I've had a diverse experience in my career working with a variety of different ages and people struggling with substance abuse and mental health in different ways, but all in structured treatment and residential facilities. So
okay. Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, like what you said, I know when my son got ill and had his suicide attempts, we didn't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what to do. You know, we never heard of NAMI.
Sure.
Had no idea what, you know, there was anything in the hospital or anything mm-hmm. to, you know. Mm-hmm. And he went on a program from Hunter Medical Center, Carrier Clinic for 28 days till my insurance ran out. They transferred him to Trenton Psych. He was there for almost 20 months. Mm-hmm. They transferred him to Hagedorn, which he was there for almost 10 and a half months.
Mm-hmm.
And this is continuously. Mm-hmm. So he was hospitalized for almost 2.5 years or a little over 2.5 years. And, you know, during that time, we, you know, when it first happened, like I said, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably stepping out on a limb, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of people aren't aware of Waypoint or High Focus or any other program that's out there that they can get help from. That's why I think it's great that you guys are here. You know, it is the internet, so it does go out all over. You know? So, but no, seriously, because a lot of times, you know, somebody has a problem and they're either their relatives or they themselves, depending on their age, they don't know where to go.
Yes.
Or who to seek help from. Right. So I think it's pretty awesome that, you know, we're trying to get the word out.
Absolutely.
And Larry, let me just mention, I mean, one of the models of High Focus Centers is that we are, the majority of our patients go through their commercial insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We're in network with basically every insurance company in New Jersey. And that's part of our model is to try to be as accessible as possible to a large number of people. I mean, for those folks who, you know, pay their premiums and have insurance, they want to use that. High Focus is designed to be that kind of service where, you know, we work very hard for, you know, the reimbursement and to seek authorization and all those pieces in the back
mm-hmm.
end to
mm-hmm.
make sure that people are getting the help that they need. So, and that's one piece that I thought I'd mention for folks who are looking for some kind of help, whether it be with mental health, whether it be with some substance abuse, and, you know, have insurance and want to use it.
Sure.
High Focus is the kind of facility where we try to reduce every obstacle we can to make it accessible
right.
for them
mm-hmm.
to get
right.
treatment.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. And I assume Waypoint takes insurance then too?
No, Waypoint is a different model. Certainly there'll be insurance coverage for the treatment that they receive.
Mm-hmm.
But as a new program, it does not have state funding, that it is an exclusively self-pay program.
Okay. What's the Waypoint's program design?
Well, Waypoint is really quite unique. It's the first of its kind in our area that really has this wraparound, as we've heard, comprehensive program design where we're looking at not only providing the mental health treatment that young men need, but also, as we talked about, the academic and vocational development where young men will be able to become active in through a local community college or Raritan Valley
mm-hmm.
Community College.
Mm-hmm.
Taking courses, resuming their studies, or beginning their studies anew, and really become plugged into that community college experience, and or begin developing marketable skills, real work skills that will
right.
help them achieve a level of self-sufficiency and independence. But within our home, we're also going to be providing a lot of what we call psychosocial integration, which is really just helping people learn how to deal with the struggles of everyday life, of getting up out of bed, managing frustration, knowing how to prepare meals, become independent as much as you can within the home, learn how to live alongside of one another in a positive way, how to get out to work or school, and how to develop a healthy, balanced lifestyle, how to develop hobbies and interests and become involved in any of those things that all of us have that we do when we're not at work, right? The things
mm-hmm.
that we're passionate mm-hmm. about and we love to do. We're also working with our guys on developing a healthy lifestyle, how to eat well, how to shop for food, how to prepare meals, store, you know, how to kind of keep food healthy and well within the home. And all of this is really done in a way that prepares them to live independently.
Right.
We're not looking for them to become dependent on us as providers. Mm-hmm. We're doing everything so that they can become independent and self-sufficient and can live on their own. So we're looking to just tap into their passion, their talent, their interests, and reinvigorate that, help break down the barriers that have gotten in the way of them staying connected to that, and create a really fulfilling life.
Okay. Do you suggest Laura, I'm just looking at Laura here. I'm sorry. Do you suggest that they go to the food pantry or to get items like that? I mean, because it's available. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we actually we're going to encourage, obviously, like Jeff said, a lot of psychosocial integration. We want them to use community resources. We have relationships with the Flemington Food Pantry.
Okay.
So, yes, they can do that. But they can also go. We have a chef on staff who can take them to ShopRite or Wegmans, teaching them about budgeting, nutrition, things like that. So we want them to reach out to all community resources and not just for, you know, their nutritional needs,
right,
for the recreational, you know, joining local gyms, trying to work on that aspect of health and wellness. We definitely want them to have open avenues for anything in the community.
Right. If someone in your organization doesn't drive, my son doesn't drive, so that's right. How do they get to all these things you'd like them to become part of?
Our residential mentors, like I mentioned, are going to be direct care staff. We do have a vehicle at Waypoint, and our residential mentors will be transporting them, not only to the treatment during the day at high focus centers, but also to doctor's appointments, to the food store, to a gym, to AA meetings. That's another community resource we're, you know, going to have them connected to if that is their need.
Okay.
So, yes, we will provide transportation.
There's also the link.
Okay.
There's also the link.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
If they have to,
sure,
they can, you know, do that, because that's what my son gets around on.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
But
also, if we have participants that are at the level of greater independence and they want to get their license and they want to drive, Waypoint is designed to help a person at that level too,
okay,
to help them develop those skills that are really necessary for adult independence. So where other programs may shy away from that driving aspect of it, we embrace it.
Well, I think, if someone is capable of it, I think it's all for it. You know, to do it.
Yes.
You know. My son also has been epileptic since he's five.
Right.
So there's no, you know, he had a license. Yeah. But in New Jersey, you have to be, I think, free of epilepsy for 3 years before you can get a license.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Right.
But then the psychosis came. Mm-hmm. And so there went the license.
Yes.
But, you know, and rightfully so, because he could hurt himself or someone else, you know. So I you know, all for it. And he doesn't even miss it now. He could care less now at this point, you know. Let me ask you, do you have volunteers?
We,
'cause NAMI does all volunteers. You know, we have no paid staff.
Yeah,
so.
we don't have volunteers on staff, but we are going to encourage our participants to volunteer.
Okay.
So we
definitely,
yes. So like I said, the Flemington Food Pantry, not only could, if they wanted to utilize, you know, getting food there, we've also met with them to include our participants in volunteering there as staff.
Because they're always asking for volunteers.
Absolutely. They always are.
They are.
And the same thing with St. Hubert's. We've also visited them and our...
Elaborate a little bit. What's
St. Hubert's Animal Shelter?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's our closest...
I'm thinking of a church.
No, St. Hubert's is an animal shelter.
Yeah, now that you mentioned it.
And it's on 22 in Branchburg is the closest one to the Waypoint residents. And they are always willing to have our participants come and volunteer. And, you know, from pet care, you know, walking the animals, feeding them, learning those type of skills.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Larry, I just wanted to say that,
sure,
you know, as you were talking about, you know, transportation and such. I mean, I think that for Waypoint, our target is to try to get those young adult males who are at that transitional place where at the time of their completing Waypoint, that they truly can be living independently. And mm-hmm. so we talk a lot about, you know, our successful discharge is one where they're not returning home to parents, per se, or anything like that.
Right.
But instead to some level of independence, whether it be in their own apartment or supported kind of residence, but the idea of being at a higher level mm-hmm. of functioning and living independently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think, Larry, towards that end, part of what we want to be able to accomplish for the young men is to connect them to the community, to mm-hmm. all the supports
right.
in the community, like NAMI and all the support services that they offer and other support networks and agencies and professionals in the community mm-hmm. so that they are able to leave Waypoint and have that network already in place.
Right, right. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we will be back in just a few moments.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
We're back. This is Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we are very privileged to have with us today Tom Fowler, who is the VP of Operations for High Focus Center. We have Jeff Brain, who is the Program Director of Waypoint, and Laura Riley, the Program Manager of Waypoint. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to ask Laura... What's a shared decision making? What is that?
Waypoint uses the model of shared decision making. Our participants, like we said, are adults, 18 to 26. And shared decision making model is based off that everybody is involved in all decisions related to their care and treatment. So while our guys are there, they're going to be a very integrated part of all the decisions we make for their transition. I don't know if we mentioned before, but their stay at Waypoint is about 4 to 6 months, which is a considerable amount of time. And during that time, they are going to have input in their activities, in any kind of job seeking, mm-hmm. Returning to school, and they will be working with not only the residential mentors and our staff at Waypoint, but also with the clinicians at High Focus Centers.
Okay. And you said it's 4 to 6 months?
Yes. The Waypoint program is about 4 to 6 months.
Is High Focus the same, or is that unlimited, or?
The typical length of stay for patients in our programs are about 3 months.
Okay.
And so the idea, and you know how we envision that, is that the participants at Waypoint, you know, early in their stay at Waypoint will probably be attending more treatment. We at the partial care level of care, mm-hmm. that could be up to 5 hours a day of group therapy, individual, et cetera.
Right.
And while they move through the program, the expectation is that there'll be less and less need of the intensity of treatment. So by the end, let's say by the end of that third month, they may only be attending our IOP level, which is 3 hours a day,
okay.
maybe one day a week. And so the other mm-hmm. amount okay. of time during the week will be filled with all of these supportive and structured activities that Laura and Jeff had mentioned.
Okay.
And that's where my role comes in with my staff is filling up that time that they have after they're okay. stepping down in treatment with meaningful activities, connecting them to the community, having them either return to school if that's their choice or returning to the workforce.
And it's their choice, right?
Yes, and that's okay. the shared decision making is
okay.
yes. Because they are adults and, you know, no one knows yourself better than yourself. They say so. we
so
definitely
they say anyway.
Yes.
You haven't talked to my wife though, have you?
So during that time that they are stepping down and having more free time or leisure time, we will be structuring that according to their needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
if they want to return to school or work or pursue recreational activities in the community.
I've run across a number of people who. Don't know what they want to do.
Yes.
What happens then?
Yes. Well, that's Waypoint's job is to expose them to a bunch of different opportunities. We are in a great location in Hunterdon County where we're not that far from New York City, not that far from Philadelphia,
right.
not that far from the beach. I know there's Jersey sports clubs, recreation clubs around. There's a bunch of different activities. We have the Somerset Patriots near their baseball. So any kind of leisure activities, you know, to fill up their time, we would like to expose them to and maybe
okay.
spark some interest. Also part of Waypoint, we do have art therapy and equine-assisted therapy, so we'll be exposing them to that, as well as mindfulness, yoga, meditation. So that's part of, you know, our whole wraparound
right.
services.
Okay.
Larry, I just wanted to say, I mean, I think that Laura's point, you know, trying to create some success experiences for these young men. And, you know, in a more traditional treatment setting, you know, there's a lot of skills being taught in education about mental illness, about symptoms, and about treatment. At the Waypoint Residence, the goal is going to be to have a bit of a more informal environment,
mm-hmm.
a more home-based atmosphere. And as a result, the mentors, I think, are going to be able to provide that kind of resource. A good example is a couple of the mentors have a lot of history in music, you know, talented musicians, etc. So we have set up where, you know, like a music studio for those participants who may have that same interest and can kind of develop some skills and some interests. You know, we have lots of health enthusiasts who are, you know, just enjoy, you know, outdoor activities, fitness, etc. So, you know, for those participants who are interested in that, the idea is to be encouraging, to teach, but then to just experience that more in a residential environment, you know, in almost like a home environment.
Mm-hmm. I found that a lot of hospitals, Carrier, mm-hmm. Trenton Psych, Greystone, mm-hmm. a lot of them have music and art
mm-hmm.
as therapy sessions.
That's right.
I had here two ladies, one was an artist and one was a musician from Carrier, and it's part of the program mm-hmm. there. And they were both saying how, you know, when a person can be like me, just draw stick figures and that's fine, you know, or they can be talented, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and the same with musicians. Me, I can't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow, but, you know, some people are like me, but they go to the music part and they get it calms them.
Yes.
And that's pretty awesome, I think, you know,
yeah.
when because we don't think about that,
sure.
you know.
For some folks, you know, talking and verbalizing their feelings is
right.
easy and a real release, whereas for others, they struggle.
It's hard
with
to talk.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
And they get that release, you know, creatively
right.
through art or music
sure.
or anything.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's wonderful,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of art or music and as being a therapeutic outlook, you know, for people. You know, but I think that's awesome.
Another similar thing is using animals. We mm-hmm. have pet therapy. Yes. Laura mentioned the equine-assisted psychotherapy. So we really want to have the opportunity to leverage the power that animals have to impact our sure. emotions and behavior.
You see them in the hospital all the time.
Absolutely,
you know?
Sure.
Yes. And it's cool, actually, because you see the patients just want to touch them and, you know,
right,
pet them and talk to them and the whole nine yards. So it's
pretty
awesome.
I have a personal connection there because I have two certified therapy dogs myself
okay.
that have been to Waypoint already. So
okay.
I really believe in that. I think that that's,
yeah.
Yeah,
no,
it's a great venue for that.
You know, and I think whatever works, you do, mm-hmm. you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, so.
Very practical, right?
It can be discouraging as, you know, clinically trained clinicians where, you know, all these years you go to school and sometimes just having a dog walk up and just, you know, can they
right.
can accomplish something you've been spending weeks
trying.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Oh, but, exactly right. You know, it's true with, you know, people have come to me and they say, well, I don't do this. Or I don't do meds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what do you do? Yeah. Well, I exercise real hard and mm-hmm. I do holistic things.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it work? Yeah. Keep it up.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mean you're not going to tell me to stop? Hey, first of all, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
Second of all, you know, if it works for you, why stop it?
That's right.
Absolutely.
But I do tell them that, you know, you might have to think down the road if it ever stops working or is not working as effectively as it is now, you may have to think about taking a med
right.
down the road along with doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if everything's working fine now, do it.
That's right.
And, you know, like if dogs help, hey,
sure.
you know,
mm-hmm.
bring the dogs in, you know. It's just whatever works, you know.
And like you said, meds can only go so far. We want to really teach our guys coping skills and other
sure.
ways to manage their symptoms, whether they're taking medication or whether they're not. So we want to give them a lot of exposure to different coping skills, different ways to manage their symptoms that aren't the traditional
mm-hmm.
therapy.
Right, right. What's RAP?
Rap
besides
is
besides rapping in the sandwich.
Yes,
it's
WRAP.
Yeah, right.
For our listeners, it's Wellness Recovery Action Plan. We actually have all our staff trained in how to present RAP to our participants. It is actually a tool for them to use when they are doing well. They actually create it when they have reached a level of stability. It's completed independently, but it's presented by one of our staff members. There are different sections of RAP. One is the Wellness Toolbox. It's where you basically kind of list everything that makes you feel good. All
okay.
those coping skills. It could be anything from reading a book, exercising. I go take a walk. I talk with my mom on the phone. You can put anything in your wellness toolbox. What's really cool is you don't necessarily have to write it on this paper in the RAP notebook. You could actually create your wellness toolbox using a shoebox. It can be very hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like RAP that way. I've used it with a lot of clients in the past. So our guys will be doing RAP. The Wellness Toolbox is just one section. There's also a crisis plan. There's a post-crisis plan. There's somewhat of a psychiatric advanced directive in it.
Okay.
So they can have a voice, and that's why it's created when they're doing well. So they can have a lot of clarity in what works for them and what got them to that level of stability. And they can use it when maybe things start to slip off or they start to decompensate a little bit. So it's a tool that we will create at Waypoint with them, but that they can also use throughout, even when they're discharged. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And it's actually very interesting. I've heard a lot of, not only is it's evidence-based, but it can be fun. Like I
mm-hmm.
said, the wellness toolbox doesn't have to be a notebook you create. It can be a very hands-on way of engaging and reflecting on their treatment.
And it's, what does it stand for again?
Wellness Recovery Action Plan.
Action Plan.
Yes.
Okay. I don't have to write that down.
Yes.
I'm not going to remember it.
You know, it's fine. There are always these things where, you know, we always want to balance having insight and having some reflection and understanding with the practical things as well.
Sure.
You know, and
sure.
so I think that RAP is one of those things that you do. I mean, be able to say, hey, I feel better. We're talking about a lot of great things, but then also, hey, look at this. It's tangible. I have it in my hand. We wrote a plan, and this is what I'm carrying out. Mm-hmm. So it's really trying to find that balance of something practical as well as some of the more right. relational kinds right. of gains that they make.
Do you find that, and it could be anybody answers this, do you find that there's relapses? And if so, are there a lot or...
Yeah. With mental illness specifically, we yeah. know it's a lifelong
right.
illness. So in terms of one's functioning, there's ups and downs. There's times that you're doing well and times that you could be struggling more significantly. So not so much of a relapse as it is times of more intense difficulty managing or coping with things. And this is where RAP becomes really important, is equipping people with the tools that they need that they can go back to and use when things get more mm-hmm. challenging. Okay. And also having a support network, having people to whom you can go that you trust that can help you get grounded and stay focused.
Right.
And either get back into treatment or change your treatment parameters a bit so
right.
that you really
right.
stay on right. track.
Yeah, RAP is definitely something that's always a work in progress. You can mm-hmm. always add to it. Yep. You can always change it. You could always completely do a new one mm-hmm. if you felt that it hadn't worked for you. But mm-hmm. it's definitely a tool that really helps people. Everyone knows when you're in crisis, when things get a little flustered, sometimes you can't think. If you do RAP when you were doing
–
absolutely, absolutely. But with RAP you know, they can go back to what they've created when they were doing well, and it's right there in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool that they right. can look back on. Oh, I did this. This used to make me feel well. Can I use this again? Can I use this now? So that's a really good strength of RAP in helping people along their recovery.
Sure.
Because mental illness is a lifelong.
Oh, it mm-hmm. certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, it's I won't say funny because that's a poor choice of words, but it's ironic that people – family members, you know, a lot of times just don't get it, you know, and it's like, pull yourself up, now go get a job, you know, get out of bed, go do this, go do that, you know, and people at points in their lives can't,
mm-hmm.
you know,
sure.
I know somebody that couldn't get out of bed,
mm-hmm.
not that she didn't want to get out, but she couldn't get out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and finally, after almost a week, she did get out, you know, but it's like she couldn't during that first period of time. And it's not like she didn't want to get up and get dressed and shower and all that jazz, but couldn't, you know.
Yes.
And having her mother beat on her door every day and saying, get up, get up, get out. What's the matter with you? You know, what are you crazy laying in there like that? Come on. Yeah. And finally, I told the woman, the mother, I says, you know, why don't you just back off? Leave her alone. Don't bother her. You really mean it? Yeah, I mean it. Just don't bother. And after, I think it was 6 days, she got up. And, you know, went out and took the dog out, got showered, got dressed, everything. But she couldn't do it prior to that. And, you know, they just don't get it sometimes. You know, it's a shame, but...
Yeah.
You mentioned the family piece. At Waypoint, we will be having a family weekend. So we're going to be integrating the parents into – they will actually be at high focus centers and getting the traditional psychoeducation
okay.
and the therapy one of those days. And then the second day of the weekend, they can spend time with their son and doing structured activities actually at the Waypoint residence.
Mm-hmm.
So families, just that whole education piece and kind of rebuilding a relationship that might have been you know, not working too well before
yeah.
before our participants came is going to be part of our program at Waypoint.
That's great. That's great. You want to, Jeff, talk about the distinctive and unique qualities?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that I would highlight with that. First, Waypoint is intentionally designed to be a small program. We're going to be serving only 5 young men initially. So we wanted to be really highly relational so that we develop meaningful relationships with the participants in our programs and the families, as Laura mentioned. And we're approaching this in a concierge approach, in that concept of a concierge at a hotel where you're really designing something specific and unique for each young man based on his needs and talents and background and history. So at Waypoint, we're not so much fitting young men into our program, but designing something that is unique and well matched to what their functioning and needs are.
Well, it's like their program.
It's their program, yes. Exactly. So, yeah. And with a small number of men, we can really accomplish that high mm-hmm. level of yeah. customization right. and individualization in, right. In approach. I also think another thing that I would highlight is the fact that we're community-based and community-integrated, right? That we really want our guys to be living in a real home, in a community, and accessing supports like I would access supports as a community member, that I would go to the gym and I would get my treatment with a local therapist or an outpatient provider, mm-hmm. and I would go to the library and I would be a part of a community. And that's really in our mission of preparing young men for independence and to live on their own. That's really important as so many of our guys are going to be coming out of primary treatment mm-hmm. and stepping what we call stepping down into Waypoint as a aftercare or transitional step towards independence. So
right.
being in a real beautiful home in a community, but very much integrated, very much part of a community. So, so many of the services that are being provided by to our guys at Waypoint are coming from the community. It's not just Waypoint that's providing. We're providing all the support to make it happen,
mm-hmm.
but so many of the services are coming from the community.
Do you find that a lot of your clients, for lack of a better word, can live on their own after?
Yes.
Or yep.
Yes. With or different
should
levels.
Go back to their house. Well, or, you know, parents or whatever.
With a defined level of support, right? And that's part of the putting the puzzle together of finding out what support do they need, from whom, and how do we make that happen in a way that honors what their ability to be independent is and provide some good structure and boundaries for the other folks that are providing the support. And that could be friends, it could be parents, it could mm-hmm. be extended family, it could be agencies within the community, or any number of those pieces of a puzzle that are put together in a
right.
way that allows each participant to live as independently as he can while helping fill in the gaps with the other support network.
Well, there's organizations that would make daily or weekly trips to somebody and check
exactly
on them.
That's exactly right. And we
well, right
we
across
would
the
as
hall.
Well. Right.
Yeah. 100 helpline. They call.
That's exactly right.
You know, my son has come a long, long way.
Mm-hmm.
Has his own place, like mm-hmm. I told you before,
yeah,
works,
sure.
that sort of thing.
But
they still call him once a week.
That's exactly
you know, just
right.
how are you? How's everything going? Not just to say hi. You
just
know.
Part of that support network.
Right,
yeah.
mm-hmm. right. And I asked him, I says, would you mind? Because I happen to know Susan Lax, who runs it mm-hmm. very well. Mm-hmm. And I says, would you mind? He says, no. He says, no, I don't mind.
Sure.
So they call him once
That's
a
great.
Week. And mm-hmm. you know, some people they call every day. Somebody, did sure. you take your meds today? You know, that sort of thing. So that's something that, I don't know, I'm sure you're aware of.
Oh,
but,
absolutely
you know,
aware of and
but,
want
it's
to
provide. Something that they could, you know.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
if you have somebody that needs help taking meds mm-hmm. or whatever, that,
yes.
you know,
that's exactly
they
right.
can call them and make mm-hmm. sure they took them, you
right.
know.
So. And part of our model is as our guys are transitioning out of Waypoint and getting established in that independent living, we're going to continue to provide that level of monitoring and support
sure.
so we can go
sure.
into the apartment and keep the progress that they've
right.
made at Waypoint going.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, to me, like I said before, to me, I find it wonderful that there's organizations that do this,
mm-hmm.
you know. Not as many as I'd like, but there are those that do it, you know. And it's just, you know, rewarding to me after 20 years of dealing with mental illness that, you know, you find that more and more is being done, mm-hmm. more and more is coming about. And when you stop and think that prior to 1980, there wasn't a whole
That's
lot
right.
being done, you
That's
know,
right.
at all,
right.
you know. And if everybody looks back, they probably had a Aunt Edna or somebody that was, you know,
mm-hmm.
oh, up there in the mountains somewhere and,
That's
you
right.
know,
That's
didn't
right.
talk to them because, you know, they're a little on their own, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's just – so to me to find it, you know, this is really rewarding to me to hear it, you know, that there are other organizations doing this.
Larry, I just want to say, you know, a little back to what you were saying before, I think there are a lot of misconceptions about mental illness
in
the community. And, you know, I think that, as we all know, for who some touched our lives, you know, these are folks all around us who we know and live with every day who are currently living in everybody's community.
Right.
And the idea is to provide them with structure and support.
Sure.
You know, at Waypoint, the goal really is to have a fully integrated treatment where you get some of the formalized interventions, you get some of the informal, you have the experiential and the community-based. And ultimately what that does is it raises the expectations of that individual
right.
to a point where they believe they can live independently.
Mm-hmm.
They raise their level aspiration to a point where they believe they can hold a job consistently and do the things that maybe in some of their darker times didn't really believe
right.
that they could.
Mm-hmm. You know, we give I give presentations monthly to educational services, and we always start with one of the lady I do. She's with this big PowerPoint thing, which is beyond me. So, but anyway, the screens go up on a wall, you know, and they've got all the names of these famous people. And I always mention one of the ones that just strike me is Buzz Aldrin.
Mm-hmm.
Is an astronaut, walked on a moon, right. suffers from major depression.
Yes.
You know,
uh-huh.
Winston Churchill carried England on his back for seven years.
Sure. Yep.
Major depression.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thomas Jefferson probably wouldn't come in this room.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
You know, and you stop and think about it. You know, he would meet Franklin on a street corner late at night and hand him a couple pages that he drew up of the Declaration of Independence, and Franklin would go in the next day and deliver
right.
it. You know, but yet he would stand on a balcony, Jefferson, and could talk to 5,000 people.
Right.
But he wouldn't
yes.
go into a room with nine. You
right.
know, so
right, yes.
It's just...
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, you know, those folks were not people that had anything to fear.
No.
You know, the mental illness, if anything, hurt themselves more than
right.
anything else.
Right.
And
that's
so
true.
By giving them treatment and support, you know, we all benefit from that.
Right.
I mean, certainly we would not have benefited if, you know,
no.
Thomas Jefferson didn't provide us with what he did.
That's right.
You know, and that's true of many young people today,
sure.
where our goal is to make sure that maybe there's another Thomas Jefferson out there who just
needs Demi Lovato.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can
used to stay up for 5 days and
make,
you know, write songs and thought it was perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
But we've got about a minute and a half left. I want to just ask one question. If anybody wanted to reach out to you, what is the best way to do that?
The website is findyourwaypoint.com, and Waypoint has an E at the end. So we'd encourage people to learn more about Waypoint on our website at findyourwaypoint.com. Phone number is 201-741-8281.
Why don't you say the phone number and the email address again?
Phone number is 201-741-8281. And website that has the phone number and a contact form, if people prefer to ask for information that way, is findyourwaypoint.com.
And well, Waypoint has an E at the end.
Waypoint has an E at the end. All right. Laura, Tom, Jeff, I really appreciate you coming. And you have my word. I'm going to ask you to come back again.
So, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having
it's
us.
It's been
you.
Awesome. Folks, you've been listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, and remember, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week.
Good evening. This is Dr. Jeff, my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the Red Mill Haunted Village.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express pass. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon. Ha 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 ha!
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.